Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now, as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A burglar calls 911 because he's afraid of the homeowners. Subway crushes McDonald's to become the world's largest food chain. And the UN celebrates International Women's Day.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, prepare yourselves. For this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Tuesday, March 8th, 2011. A burglar called 911 to turn himself in from inside a homeowner's residence on Monday. Police said Timothy Chapek, 24, broke into the home on Southwest Rutland Terrace and began taking a shower. At around 7 p.m., the owner came home and asked Chapek what he was doing there. That's when Chapek, who was afraid of the owner's two German shepherds, as well as the possibility that the owner may have a gun, locked himself in the bathroom and called 911. The homeowner also called 911 at pretty much the same time. Crews arrived and took Chapek into custody. He was taken to Multnomah County Jail on suspicion of criminal trespassing and was released on his own recognizance.
Wait a minute, so he was showering?
Yes, he broke into a house and was showering.
Was this the reason for breaking in? Was there some larger purpose, or was he just unclean and figured it was sort of an any part in a storm kind of thing?
That's unclear. I was assuming he was actually a burglar, like he was one of those guys who breaks that we see with increasing regularity.
With the burglary,
they break into the house and then while they're there, decide to like watch some porn or have a snack or take a shower or a nap. But he may have broken in purely to take a shower. We don't know yet.
Sorry, I was distracted by the fact that there's a tangle in my headphone cable.
Oh.
Which is not to be confused with the bustle in your head row, but it's very similar. I mean, they're sort of in the same genus. Also, the light that's to your immediate right there is listing kind of 30 degrees to port. It's kind of freaking me out. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, March 8th, 2011. Coming up later on this hour, your entertainment news, also science on the march. Don't forget, if you want to be graced by this program later on today via the godlike presence of Steve Jobs and his miraculous iTunes, you can get this program there. Also, as a direct MP3 download here at legionofnews.com. It is here at Cascadia.fm or legionofnews.com and on your mobile device as well. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. Mobile.cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon marked the 100th anniversary of International Women's Day and calls on the international community to continue its fight against gender inequality. This would be sound.
To whom are you? Oh, is this in the Dropbox? Is this sound from the Dropbox?
You would have had. I can come back to this. We can circle around this and come back to it later.
Should I just leave the room so you can snark in peace for a minute
I'm
or two?
No, I'm not snarking. I'm not. I was feeling inadequate because I probably should not have read that story yet.
Can I just tell you this? If you look at the sound bites, the way that they're lined up in the Dropbox, it actually says "Stupid Woman Day." Is there one called Stupid and one called Woman Day?
Yes. All right. Yes, there is.
If you read them, it just says. Actually, if you read them in order, it says "Stupid Woman Day Deficit."
Stupid. Just like every day deficit.
Every day of my life, Don. These are loading up here in just one second. How will you be celebrating International Woman's Day?
Apparently by having hot flashes, although it could just be the end of my cold. But I'm weirdly moist.
Oh, I see.
And it's unpleasant, and I'm sweaty, and I'm not having it.
Is it one of the International Women's 4 days?
I think it could be International Women's, end of fertility day or something. I have no idea. I'm just all a flutter and moist today. Although I might be going out tonight to go see Battle Los Angeles, because that's a very lady thing to do.
Okay. Well, let's try these and see if they work. They're kind of showing up as being 0K in size.
Really?
But it's okay. I know how computers are for the fairer sex, Don. It's all right. We'll.
Sometimes for some reason when I change the names of MP3s, they become like nothing. They just turn into nothing.
Yeah, no,
to
I understand.
Dust.
No, it's
which doesn't really make any sense.
I understand. Computers are difficult. It's math is hard.
I'm just a girl here on International Women's Day.
Maybe we'll get Danica McKellar to write a book about it, and then it'll be easier. So we'll try this cut. This is just called Woman Day 01.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cannot be opened in the data format.
All right. Stupid. Sound.
I remember just moments ago when somebody in this room was acting like it was Rick Emerson's fault that the sound bites weren't playing. Who was that, I wonder? I wonder if I have some sort of a flashback sound to allow us to listen back to the...
We need to look through these candidates with ground-based telescopes.
That's not it.
And find out which are really...
Also not it. All right. Well, whatever.
All right.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. What would the sound bite say if I were to play it, Don? Give your artist rendering now. Give us an approximation.
I haven't a clue. I have no idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, International Day of the Woman.
Yeah.
Here is Don Taylor.
A despondent Kelso man who pointed a gun at police was shot dead by a SWAT officer in an incident that began late Monday evening. Police were dispatched around 11:30 p.m. to a Kelso home on a report of a suicidal man with a gun. Officers tried to talk to the man, who refused to cooperate. A regional SWAT team was called to the scene. A police negotiator started speaking with the man on the phone, who said he was distraught over personal problems. The conversation continued, but the man refused to come out of the house. After a lengthy negotiation, the subject was observed pointing a firearm at SWAT officers, at which point he was shot dead.
I want to form some sort of line of rough and tumble porn films just called SWAT. And it's just like chicks in bikinis just hitting guys with big paddles. It's not really what I'm into, but you think there's probably a market for that, right?
Would they be dressed as cops?
Yes,
to go
they
with
would.
The SWAT theme?
Yes, they would, and there'd be sort of thing that happened at the beginning. Some sort of a Blackula Strikes type theme playing underneath.
They're the SWAT team, but they are beautiful dominatrixes who go around just paddling guys.
That's what I'm saying.
I like this.
Okay,
I think there's a market for
this. And doesn't SWAT stand for something? Isn't it an acronym?
Yes.
I mean, in the cop world.
Yes.
It's a
strategic something action team, I think.
So something and tactics?
Sure.
Weapons and tactics?
Weapons and, sure.
All right. But this wouldn't be that. This would be like sexy wow, and
sexy women all over that.
Yes. SWAT. it's going to be one of those days. Hey, it's Tuesday, March 8th, 2011. Thank you for joining us. This is Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Just to recap this last story, so there was a guy who was asking for it in some way?
Basically, yes. He was despondent, and he had a gun, and I guess he decided the best way to end his problems was to just point a firearm at one of the many SWAT officers that were surrounding his home.
It seems, how despondent can you really be, though? I mean, if you're just, if you're willing to delay it long enough for the cops to show up.
You'd think that would be pretty exciting, that would actually pull you up out of your depression, at least temporarily.
You think, my God, what a thrill-packed life this is.
The adrenaline alone would just pull you out of the depression for 20 minutes or so.
Imagine that maybe just, you get some sort of an endorphin release and you would say, there is never a dull minute in this existence of mine. What a fool I would have been to throw it away.
Look at me. I'm awesome. Look at all the attention I'm getting.
They're all here to see me. Yeah. I rule. I am the center of the known universe. I'm just saying, it's like, you know, depending on what part of town you live in, you know, the cops don't always come right away or at all. So, I mean, it just seems like you're adding unnecessary steps to the equation there. You're depressed. You've got the gun. Zam. QED.
Yeah.
It's sort of the thing that sorts itself out. Here's Don Taylor.
Chain restaurants aren't faring terribly well in the economic downturn, but Subway is having a record-breaking year. By the end of 2010, the sandwich chain was running 33,749 restaurants internationally, edging out McDonald's, which only had 33,737.
How could this many people possibly want to eat wet bread and bad lettuce?
I really don't know. I mean, is it just me, or do all of their sandwiches taste essentially the same?
Here's the thing.
No matter what version you get.
I wouldn't even be the person to ask at this point, because it has been not decades, but it has been years. I think it has been multiple years since I've been into a Subway, because I got to the point where I reached some event horizon in my own head where I could no longer, and I'm not opposed to like fast food or junk food or whatever you want to call it. I reached the point where I could no longer take the weird, strange, undercooked smell of their bread that permeates, and it gets into your clothes, for the rest of the day, I would walk around, it would just feel like I had yeast fermenting in my nostrils. There is a particular smell, and it's not a sandwich smell, because like your Quiznos doesn't have it, your Big Town Hero, your whatever, and I'm not a huge fan of the submarine-type sandwich anyway, but there's a specific smell at Subway restaurants, and it smells... It just smells like a bucket of bread dough has been forgotten behind the stove and it's just moldering away. That's what it always smells like to me.
I've always been just slightly offended, my culinary sensibilities, offended by the fact that they seem to think that every sandwich, no matter what it's made out of, needs to have a pile of shredded lettuce and a big handful of olives and some sliced up bits of green pepper on it, no matter what it is. So if you're having a roast beef sandwich, okay, I could kind of see that. And then they spork the squeeze bottles of mustard and mayonnaise on it. Maybe, you know, the Italian, the salami and the pepperoni, maybe I could see this. But then, like, you know, it's like a hot chicken with melted cheese on it. And then lettuce and olives and tomato pieces on top of that. It makes no sense. You don't put the cold shredded lettuce on top of, like, the hot meatball sub or whatever it is. And yet at Subway, they do.
I care less about that than I do about the fact that they only seem to have the one dispensing method for the condiments. And that is a full squeeze or a splork, as you say, a full...
Yeah.
On it. And I'm like, no, if you just a little bit... never mind. Okay. Do you want mayonnaise? Yeah, but just a little... Okay, All right, I'll just spoon it off later, I guess. And by the time, but it's too late. It's just saturated the bread, and they use that bread. It's like the surface of the moon, where it's just got all these like weird little crevasses and openings in it. And so it's like, you know, it's like trying to get ketchup out of the inside of a sponge. And finally, you just look down at it and you just say, "This is what kind of man I have become. This is where I am in my life. I am a creature that walks like a human and then sits here like some horrible spongy homunculus, just eating this thing on the table in front of me. It's just bad." At least Quiznos. Here's the thing about Quiznos, I don't eat there a lot either, but Quiznos, like at Subway, they'll claim to you that they're gonna. I don't know if they actually toast it. They do hot sandwiches. Do they actually toast things though?
No, they just heat the whole thing up and then put the shredded lettuce and the crap on top of it anyway.
I guess that's the problem, because this is well documented. That I have great difficulty eating bread that's not toasted, because I have difficulty with squashy food, and Subway is nothing but squishy food, even food that ought not be that way. So at least Quiznos, you can get your toast on, or they can. Here's the thing about Quiznos. Let me just say this. When we were at the Coin Tower, and we worked at the Coin Tower for CBS, there was that Quiznos, like down there, which is where we stole the Teeny Yothers, a celebrity stool, by the way, the kind you sit on. And we go to.
Thank God.
This will go with my collection of celebrity stool. Renfield, quick, the jar. But there was that Quiznos down at the ground level, and they served the best thing there. I mean, it was not really good, like in a traditional sense. Like you wouldn't. You know, it's not like your Wolfgang Puck is going to look at it and say, like, well done. But it was their toasted bread bowl that had their chili in it that was just, in a sort of fast food way, was just fantastic. It was wonderful. There's nothing I can say that about a Subway. It's a repellent restaurant to me, like, on every level. And so it has surpassed McDonald's?
Yes. And by the way, I just got an email here from Tom Lister, who says that he's no big fan of Subway. Their bread sucks. Quiznos is better. He says, but you don't have to have lettuce or anything else you don't want on your sandwich. I'm surprised you didn't know that. I realize this. I know that you can stand there and customize the thing, but really, do you, you know, other than saying, for the love of God, don't put, you know, something I hate on it, you always end up letting them just do whatever they want.
Well, my whole thing is, why don't they just let you make the sandwich yourself? And, you know, their response would be, well, you know, you're going to use too much, or you're just going to, you know, the customers, you're going to take the entire bin of olives or something. But, you know, they could solve this. Here's how they could do it. They just make it like one of those things that Homer Simpson uses to handle radioactive isotopes, where you just put your hand through, and then they glove you up on the other side.
Yeah.
So that way you can't just be, like, pulling the whole thing of, you know, it can't be like an automat where you're just pulling everything out and sticking it in your coat and running.
And you're not getting your germs all over everything that way?
That's what I'm saying. You put on your, and the thing is, they wouldn't let you put your hand through until you put on a pair of gloves on your side. So there's a latex glove dispenser. Put them on, gloves on your hand, you reach through the thing, pa-pa-pa, build it, and then you slide it down, da-da-da, build it, slide it down, and you make that middle section with the gloves, with the two holes for your hands, you make that part of a sliding panel that slides with you as you go down, and then you're fine. And that's in a worst-case scenario where they feel like they really need to keep you away from the actual food. But they could just let you make
robots.
The thing.
Robots could do it.
Sure. Or how about this? You could just tell them what you want, and then, you know, and then they could follow what you request, as opposed to just going, all right, then, a pound and a half of iceberg lettuce. No nutritional value whatsoever. Very good, sir. Well chosen. You know, what is the point of that? Nothing.
Well, at any rate, there are slightly more. There are just, like, about 12 more Subway restaurants than there are McDonald's internationally. There are 24,000 Subway restaurants in the United States. But the company says it expects international outlets will surpass the American ones by 2020, and they plan to have 500 stores up and running in China within the next 4 years.
12 more, you say?
12 more.
So really, if somebody at the McDonald's Corporation were motivated and really wanted to distinguish themselves in the eyes of Joan Kroc, you know what needs to be done. That's right.
And, you know, they can do that. They could build 13 McDonald's this afternoon if they wanted
no,
to.
Oh, no, I thought, no, you're going one way, I'm going a different way.
Oh.
I'm going
like,
you know what needs to be done.
Oh, like, not more McDonald's, but less Subway.
No, you said that. That Don Taylor said that. Rick Emerson, did Rick Emerson say anything like that? Did he in any way imply that? No. There were no words that left my mouth that said that was what I was saying. You have no idea. I could have been thinking of something totally different.
You could have been. Suggesting that they put on a dance marathon.
I was thinking that they should go to that seminar that's going to have Rudy Giuliani and Laura Bush and Bill Cosby. And then, you know, they would get some sort of shrewd advice for mellow and laid back living so that they wouldn't be so competitive.
Okay, and now listener Tom is telling me that they have a slow conveyor belt thing that takes sandwiches through a toasting oven at Subway. Okay, whatever.
Is it going to be a whole day of this?
Dear God, I'm done. Man, Tom really cares about Subway. Get the Subway facts right.
You know, some people appreciate knowledge, Don. Some people appreciate having facts where once there was ignorance.
Are you trying to make me cry on International Women's Day?
If I really pushed, could I?
Probably.
You know no one likes you. You stink of fetid cheese.
Aww.
You leave the room and people... I can't even begin to tell you the things that they... sometimes they just make retching noises that can't even be understood as a form of human speech.
Now I'm... The U.S. and its NATO allies are pondering a military response to the civil war in Libya. That's claimed over 1,000 lives so far.
How can we... Well, never mind.
White House spokesman Jay Carney... He's a carney. No, Jay Carney says the Obama administration...
Not
considers,
Art Carney.
I want him to talk like a carney.
So, I don't even know what a carney's...
Right over here, ladies and gentlemen. Right this way. Says the Obama administration considers Libya a top priority.
The international community, with the United States in the lead, has moved with incredible rapidity to address the situation in Libya and continues to deal with this with great urgency.
This is who?
This is a White House spokesman, Jay Carney.
Is that the guy that replaced Robert Gibbs or whatever his name is?
I don't think so.
This guy sounds exactly like Ari Fleischer. I mean, if you put it in some sort of an auditory lineup, I would tell you this was Ari Fleischer.
The international community, with the United States in the lead, has moved with incredible rapidity.
Oh, that's freaky. That's weirding me out a bit.
He says...
what did Thomas have to say about that, Don?
Nothing. I'm not listening to him anymore. Carney says establishing a no-fly zone isn't automatically the right thing to do.
This option is very much on the table, but people need to understand the complexities of it, both in its implementation and what it can and can't achieve.
Here's the thing. I want to make it clear.
He's the White House press secretary.
I want to make it clear that Rick Emerson appreciates filling a void of ignorance with the tasty filling of facts and information. He could destroy us all, you know. So we have to keep him. We have to keep him in a benevolent mood, or he'll crush us.
All right.
So you're gonna go home, and there's just gonna be some electronic eye like leering at you inside your home. And then, you know, he'll be speaking to you like E.G. Marshall in Creepshow. You know.
And telling me I'm putting too much half and half in my coffee.
You were listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up later on this hour, we got your entertainment news, also Science on the March. You can get this program later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or legionofnews.com. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program coming up today. We'll have listener Jenny in, who's going to talk to us about the... Well, I don't want to get off into a hole. I had something I was going to say about the Sleep Country Pajama Bowl and our team and Aaron Durant's team, but we'll save that for next hour.
Yeah.
Also, we'll save... never mind. I told you when I came in, you said, you asked me how my morning was. And then I felt bad because your morning apparently consists of just sneezing and coughing and stuffy headachey fever, you know, but not, you know, needing to rest, but not really being able to take the so you can rest medicine because you can't really rest because you got to be here doing the show.
Right.
And then I was trying to complain about my job where I was where I spent the morning flanked by small dogs and runway models. I swear to Christ, I'm not making that up. So we'll talk about all that next hour.
And we'll also have a hick watch and a penis watch. They're not on the boards at the moment, but right. We will indeed have those.
Hick watch and a penis watch. That is all coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. That is rickemersonshow.com. Here is Don Taylor.
Investigators say a man accused of burglary in Vancouver tried to get away with an urn full of a dead woman's ashes. Matthew Clark, 32, made his first appearance in a Clark County courtroom on Monday. Deputies say he broke into a home on Northeast 58th Street on Saturday and tried to steal various items, including an urn. The homeowner's son lives next door, and deputies say he called 911. The victims say the suspect had no idea what he was taking when he grabbed the urn. They say he probably would have been surprised when he found out. The family now has the urn back. They plan to bring it to Hawaii and scatter the ashes there later this year. Clark is facing charges of burglary, theft, and unlawful removal of human remains.
Is there any law that says you have to put them in, in an urn?
No.
I mean, is the urn? It doesn't have to meet any specifications or anything. You can just put your mom in a pepper mill or something if you wanted to, right?
No. When I had my mother cremated, and they do kind of push you a little bit. They encourage you to spend the money to buy some kind of fancy, expensive urn thing, in the similar way that they, you know, push coffins on you and that sort of thing. But if you say, no, I don't want any of that, they're fine with it. And they just give you the ashes in like a cardboard box with a label on. Or in my case, it was actually a very nice, big, sturdy plastic box that I carried around I didn't know where to put it. So it was in the trunk of my mom's car for a long time that I was driving. And then one day I was getting...
Oh, I see. And it's weird that I have trunk pizza.
And
okay.
I was getting moving boxes one day and the guy was like, hey, what's that? And I should have lied.
My mom.
It's my mom. And then he looked uncomfortable.
Did he just kind of say, okay?
Just left very quickly.
I have a... bye.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Here is Don Taylor.
Oregon lawmakers hope a system that can keep a car from starting will help prevent drunk driving. The House Judiciary Committee heard testimony yesterday on House Bill 3075. The measure would require people who have agreed to take a driving under the influence of intoxicants diversion program to install an ignition interlock device in their car. Ann Pratt, public policy liaison for Mothers Against Drunk Driving, said that House Bill 3075 is not about punishment. It's about retraining risky behavior. It's also no longer about the drunk driver once they decide to get behind the wheel. It's about the safety of Oregonians.
Why are we leaving the car with them then? I mean, that would be my question.
I don't know. What? Just take their damn car away.
Seriously. I mean, I'm just to be legally consistent. Yeah. Well, this is like that thing. Was it in Washington State where they were talking about putting the big Z or something on your license plate if you were some alky behind the wheel? It's like, really, why is it that we're just saying like, well, go ahead and drive, but, you know, we'll trust you when we clearly don't?
Yeah, in this case, it's an ignition interlock device that's like a breathalyzer, and it can detect if somebody's been drinking and the car won't start.
I've known people who've had to do that in Utah. They've had those for a while. There was a guy who actually, I swear to God, you'd have to get in the car, and there was a thing hooked into the cigarette lighter that he had to go like and blow into before the car would start. And they actually, they either did this right as I was leaving, or they were talking about doing this. They were actually getting some sort of more elaborate version. I don't think it actually like tested his DNA, but I think it was like you actually had to hold it in your hand in a certain way because it read your fingerprints at the same time. So I guess theoretically somebody else could still hold it, but it read your fingerprint at the same time it was sampling your breath.
Yeah, because a lot of people were getting around the breathalyzer things by just having like their kids blow into it, which, you know, that's going to be good for some therapy later.
Yeah, I would also imagine a lawsuit or two. Yeah. Here's Don Taylor.
Let's do science.
Here's your science on the march for Tuesday, March 8th, 2011, brought to you by Squires Electric. Find out more about them by going to squireselectric.com. That is squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609, 503-252-1609. There is no job too small, no job too... I mean, it's conceivable that there's a job too large. This is like that business of, you know, like, could God make a boulder so heavy he couldn't lift it?
That's true. If the government came to Joe Squires
the
and
government.
Said, we want you to rewire our entire nuclear facility here.
Hi, my name's Bob. I'm from the government.
Yeah, they do that.
Okay.
I'm from the wiring people at the government.
It is almost certain that your job, however sizable it may be, is not of Gaussian enough proportions to thwart the work ethic of Squires Electric. Only one way to find out, though, you call them at 503-252-1609 or go to squireselectric.com. Whether it's your home, whether it's your business, whether it is, in fact, your home business, if you're going to be expanding, repairing, upgrading, or if you just got an inspection coming up, you want to make sure you pass the first time around, contact Squires Electric at 503-252-1609. Please do tell me you heard it here. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical contractors, installers, and supervisors. Squires Electric. Here's Don Taylor.
Elephants recently aced a test of their intelligence and ability to cooperate, with two of them even figuring out ways that the researchers hadn't previously considered to obtain food rewards. The study published in the latest...
Does one involve banging the researcher against the wall of the cage while he screams for help and blood comes out of his ears?
I think the elephants stole one of the researchers' wallet and called for a pizza.
Give me the peanuts!
The study published...
They never forget!
Published in the latest Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, highlights not only the intelligence of individual elephants, but also the ability of the animals to cooperate and understand the value of teamwork. Scientists now believe elephants are in league with chimpanzees and dolphins as being
They're
among...
They're in league with chimpanzees?
Yes, they are.
It's worse than we ever imagined, Don.
As being among the world's most cognitively advanced animals. They're all working together.
Uh-huh.
They're working together against us.
Like how there's that League of Super Pets?
Is there a League of Super Pets?
There is a League of Super Pets.
Oh, is it led by Crypto?
It is led by Crypto. Can you name one of the other Super Pets, please?
No.
Beppo the Super Monkey.
Mm.
Not making that up.
Elephant sociology is very complex, says lead author Joshua Plotnick. Social groups...
Plotnick?
Yes, Joshua Plotnick.
Really? Is this an article by Al Feldstein and Don Martin?
Social groups are made up of matriarchal herds, an older female is in charge, and varying levels of relatedness among members. Cooperation in elephants is most likely necessary in the context of communal care for and protection of young.
And then they all go katunga.
And the tests of elephant intelligence and their abilities are rare simply because working with these large and potentially dangerous animals poses risks. To meet the challenge, Potnick and his colleagues Richard Lair, Wirat Sufachakasashakan, and Franz de Waal reworked a classic 1930s experiment on primates. They positioned a sliding table holding red bowls of yummy corn some distance away from a volleyball net. A rope was tied around the table so that the table would only move if two elephants working together pulled on the ends of the ropes. If just one elephant moved, the rope would unravel. To get to the front of the volleyball net, the elephants had to walk down two separate roped-off lanes.
Did they play that song while they did it? And then sort of a...
Baby elephant walk.
Whenever they failed.
Well, mostly the elephants figured it out. If the researchers did not release the second elephant, the first one would basically just look around and go, you know, it takes two of us to do this. Seriously, there needs to be two of us.
It also takes two to make a thing go right and to make it out of sight, no?
And two elephants named Nua Un and Jojo figured out how to cheat. One used her foot to hold the rope, so her partner had to do all of the work. So elephants, very smart. And in league with chimps and robots. And will kill us all.
Beppo the Super Monkey.
You know, the song from the cartoon version of Crypto the Super Dog. But Crypto the Super Dog, he's a super dog, and he's super strong.
Would you like to know the name of the other two animals in the in the Legion of Super Pets.
There was a cat, wasn't there?
Streaky the Super Cat.
Okay.
And?
I don't know what the other one is.
Comet the Super Horse. Bam!
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Who did Comet the Super Horse belong to?
They all belong to Superman in different.
Oh.
They all belong to Superman in different parallel worlds.
I thought the Super Cat was Supergirl's pet. Like Superman had Krypto and Supergirl had a cat.
Well, it's entirely possible that Supergirl also had a cat. Ladies often do. But all of these animals belonged, for example, Comet the Super Horse, I believe, belonged to Superman of the future, whereas Streaky the Super Cat belonged to a present-day Superman, but in an alternate universe. This, by the way, was a Legion of Super Pets that was formed. Note that I am doing this while maintaining eye contact with you because I just have this in my brain. This was done in response to a threat posed by the brain globes of Rambat.
So if they're all,
yeah.
If they're from different like dimensions and time frames and stuff, how are they all working together?
Well, through the power of magic, and I think like a rocket maybe. I don't know. They're kind of fuzzy on the science in the early DC universe. They the underpinnings of that in a galactic physics sense are maybe not as ironclad as they might ideally be.
Beppo is a very good name for a monkey, though.
Beppo the Super Monkey.
Yeah. Attorneys representing potentially thousands of Guatemalans affected by U.S. syphilis experiments decades ago say they will sue top federal health officials unless their claims are settled. The legal move today comes after revelations last year that U.S. scientists studying the effects of penicillin in the 1940s deliberately infected about 700 Guatemalan prisoners, mental patients, soldiers, and even orphans. The experiments were hidden for decades. Lawyers said in a letter to Attorney General Eric Holder that the lawsuit, which could become a class action, will be filed in federal court in Washington unless President Barack Obama's administration responds positively to the settlement offer by Friday. The Justice Department declined to comment.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. This is Science on the March.
Robots can solve puzzles, assist with surgery, and even stand in for caregivers. And they can also, like, poke you with sharp sticks and punch you, as we've discovered. But if you ask one to handle potato chips without crushing them, humans are still better at that. Robot hands...
Is this what it's come to? This is the only thing we can do?
Right.
We can't build cars as fast as robots. We can't do the stabbing or the punching. We can't win at Jeopardy.
Mm-mm.
We can handle potato chips.
Right.
So now we know what position we'll be serving in the when the robot empire rises and we are enslaved. We'll be, you know.
And now
I demand ruffles with ridges.
And soon the robots will be able to handle potato chips as well. A new material dubbed frozen smoke could be the skin they need for a light touch on robots. It's a kind of very light carbon nanotube material, according to an associate professor of chemistry at the University of Central Florida. The aerogel was made by fusing tubes together in a novel way. Carbon nanotubes have advantages. They are strong, conductive, and have large surface areas, but their high aspect ratio means they naturally form bundles. So that compares them to, you can compare them to fused chopsticks. In order to use them, you have to separate them. The University of Florida's approach separates the carbon nanotubes while retaining their useful properties. The resulting frozen smoke aerogel is flexible and has a conductivity that makes it an ideal sensor. So we are ever closer to creating super sensitive skin for our pokey and punchy robots.
Is frozen smoke like liquid smoke?
Yes, only frozen.
Liquid smoke is that thing that Mr. Stubbs from the barbecue company sells.
Yeah, my mom had like one bottle of that for my entire life.
Just sat in
our
back.
Kitchen because she would use like a drop of it in the hamburgers when she would make them. And so like eventually it was like just a bottle of some kind of horrible sludge.
So really, I'm not even going to be able to get a job serving potato chips to our robot overlords.
No, they will be able to do everything eventually.
Okay. Right.
And we are doomed. Unless we ourselves join the League of Elephants and Chimps.
No, see, the Legion of Super Pets, they're not going to have us. Not after all of it. Not at all for the hitting with the stick and literally working for peanuts and so forth. It's just not going to, you know.
Yeah.
No, and then making them do that ridiculous hooking the trunk and the tail thing.
Oh, that's true.
No.
And the dancing with the hats and the, yeah.
Yeah, no.
No. Okay. That's all the science.
Okay. You sure?
Yes.
Last chance. All right, there we go. There's your Science on the March for Tuesday, March 8th, 2011. Coming up later on this hour, we got your entertainment news. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program featuring Hick Watch, Penis Watch, and we will have our good friend Jenny in today to talk about the Sleep Country Pajama Bowl team, which is being put together. Which, by the way, So that's coming up this Sunday. That is this Sunday, the 13th. So do we figure that Aaron is going to be in... So Aaron Geek in the city of Duran, his team is going to be in Beaverton. We're going to be in Vancouver.
We still can destroy them, though, just long distance.
You say can destroy them, like it even needs to take place in the future. Like it's not, I mean, like it's not a fait accompli, Don.
Yeah, but you know, he got Dan Clark and he got Cable Hashitani on his team. So he's got the comic book people and the pirates.
So you're saying that we may actually just gather the appropriate amount of donations and then Dan will just sort of rappel in through a window and...
Right.
Avast! And, you know, and then gone.
And they'll probably get, like, extra points for having, like, the coolest pajama theme costume thing, because they'll all be, like, pajama pirates or something. Or
pajama pirates. Pajama pirates. Pajama pirates sounds like... It sounds like something... That sounds like some sort of a film that would be deposed somewhere in some sort of very unsettling court case.
A game that Michael Jackson liked to play at the ranch.
I'm sorry. There's your science.
My dad says we're going to play pajama pirates.
Please don't ever do that. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. By the way, for those who are playing the Legion of News home game, I have I've gone back. I have your audio cuts ready.
Do you?
Your stupid woman day deficit cuts.
Oh yay!
I have Yes, I have saved them now as actual MP3s, so they're ready to go.
Thanks.
It's well, okay.
Then let's do one of those now.
That's what I'm here to do, Don, is to fix your mistakes. All right.
Let's do the stupid one then. Former Senator Alan Simpson, co-chairman of the National Commission on Fiscal Responsibility and Reform, says the American people understand budgeting more thoroughly than the government. Simpson testified before the Senate Budget Committee on Tuesday.
People in America are way ahead of all of you. They know what's going on because when you say, why don't you go back and think what people are doing at their kitchen table? I'll tell you what they're doing at their kitchen table. They know that if you spend more than you earn, you lose your butt. And they know that if you spend a buck and borrow 40 cents, you must be stupid. And they've got it figured out that this government is stupid. To borrow 40 cents for every buck you spend, forget the charts, forget the GDP, all the rest of it. That's where we are.
Is this that guy that just makes waffles on public access on Sundays and just spends a lot of time staring out the window?
He's the Dutch oven guy.
That's Jesus.
So there you go. That's all of that. It's just that Alan Simpson says that the American people believe that the government is stupid.
And that they don't end up buttless at the end of the whole thing.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
A 13-year-old Jefferson Middle School student was arrested for bringing a gun to school Monday morning. Principal Scott Lindenberger told Marion County deputies he had taken the gun away from a student after a search of his locker. A student reported seeing the gun and some 9mm rounds were found in the suspect's locker. The suspect later turned over the weapon, which was unloaded, saying he had broken into his father's gun cabinet and brought the gun to school because he felt threatened. The boy told deputies he thought it was cool to bring a gun to school. He was charged with possession of a firearm in a public building and two counts of unlawful possession of a firearm. I have happy news.
Wait, hold on. What manner of happy news is
this? Animal happy news.
Here's Don Taylor with your happy animal news for Tuesday.
A baby two-toed sloth was born in captivity at Pet Safari in Dunedin.
Where?
Dunedin. I don't know where that is.
Is that some sort of hillbilly patois you're using?
No, Dunedin is a place. It's a town.
Okay.
Hold on.
It doesn't even... Dunedin... It doesn't even look like it's Pa.
Dunedin. Dunedin is in Florida.
Okay.
Okay. The mother, whose name is actually Baby, gave birth at 8:05 p.m. on Sunday. Pet Safari owner Larry Lipke captured the birth on camera. George Talmadge, the store manager, was there for the birth. It was the most exciting thing I've ever seen, said Talmadge.
Said Talmadge, who has a small, small life.
I've seen a lot of animals give birth, from a hedgehog to a sugar glider, but being right there on top of the sloth and in the middle of the birth was incredible.
Now I'm going to go home and pick out some socks for the rest of the week.
Experts at Busch Gardens confirm it's rare for a baby sloth to be born in captivity. At Pet Safari, however, this is the second time it's happened. 2 years ago, a sloth named Blondie also became a mother. Mother and baby sloth won't be able to live together forever, however. Eventually, the mother will become territorial. The mother will carry the baby anywhere from 6 months to a year, and then when she's done with the baby, she drives it away so she can have her own territory. She hits it, she chases it, and becomes aggressive.
Okay. That was a heartwarming story, Don.
Isn't that nice? It reminds me of my mom.
Okay.
Speaking of my mom, now United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon marked the 100th anniversary of International Women's Day today and calls on the international community to continue its fight against gender inequality.
100 years ago, when the day was first commemorated, gender equality was a largely radical idea. On this centenary, we celebrate the significant progress that has been achieved through determined advocacy, practical action, and enlightened policymaking. But we must also remember that in too many countries and in too many societies, women remain second-class citizens, denied their fundamental rights, deprived of legitimate opportunity.
I think they're deprived of midgety opportunities, he says at
the end. Legitimate opportunities. Well, okay. They're deprived of midgety opportunities.
That's just part of the overall problem,
yeah.
Don. Is this, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Is this a sound by that Newt Gunray guy from Attack of the Clones?
100 years ago.
But Lord Sidious, the Jedi, they approach.
100 years ago, when the day was first.
You just picture him with like sort of a green face and no lips.
Mm.
All right.
A Michigan dentist in town for his son's baseball game was arrested late Saturday on credit card theft and forgery charges after Polk County deputies said he stole a college student's credit card and used it to buy pizza. Richard Lewis Ludwig, 54, of Okemos, Michigan.
One of those names doesn't belong there. There's one of those names has been, that was like it fell into a jumble and came up with something else attached to it.
He also faces charges of impersonating and attempting to use the ID of another person. The victim, Harun Majid of Davenport, Michigan, dropped his credit card in the parking lot of the Publix Market in Davenport on Saturday evening. Majid, a military veteran studying at a community college, realized the card was gone when he got home and called to cancel it. While on the phone with the credit card company, a representative told Majid someone had used the card to make a purchase at Mia Pizza Pasta Kitchen in the same plaza as the Publix, where Majid lost his card.
Everything just sounds like a Star Wars reference today. Mia Pasta Pizza Kitchen.
Anyway, they caught Ludwig. He admitted to finding Majid's credit card in the parking lot.
Ludwig and Majid.
He ordered two large pizzas with extra olives and paid the $40.64 bill with it.
Did he tip?
He had $250 in cash in his wallet, by the way, at the time he was arrested.
Okay.
So it's not like he... When asked if he was having financial problems, the sheriff's office said, Ludwig laughed and said, absolutely not.
I just like free stuff.
He told deputies his net worth was between $3 and $4 million.
Okay. Well, he sounds like a plausible young man. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up later on this hour, your entertainment news. How you doing, Don?
I'm sweaty and woozy.
No, you don't sweat, Don. You glisten.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're not woozy. You're having a spell. You just got to frame everything in the right context. It's all about the nomenclature.
I need a julep.
Okay. I'll have my man get that for you. Or perhaps a robot of some kind. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Coming up later on this hour, entertainment news. You can also get this program later on today via direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com, as well as at iTunes. Don't forget, next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program encircles the globe. This is a good opportunity. If you need to sponge yourself off or something, I'm gonna read something here.
Okay, no, I'm fine. I'm
you sure.
I'm soldiering through. I'm
you
good.
Play through the pain.
Yeah.
All right, way to bring it, Don. Never mind. I wanted to give shouts out here or shout outs. How do you do that? Is it like attorneys general?
Yes, you want to give shouts out.
Shouts out.
Give a few shout outs because then you would hyphenate shout out.
Well. Okay, but yeah. you would still pluralize the shouts though, no matter where it's coming in the sentence, even if it's not the, no matter where it is relative to the verb.
I don't know. Forget it. Let's say shouts out.
Yeah, let's just no one knows. Here's the thing: it doesn't really matter because we're going to come to some. You know what? And no one will know or care. I mean, really, regardless of what conclusion we come to, let's acknowledge that right now. So from Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa, comes this. Shout out to new subscribers today, including for the Rick Emerson radio program, including Cody Scott. And that is not like Cody Scott, but that is Cody, Scott, also Stuart. So welcoming new subscribers to the Rick Emerson family, Don, including Cody, Stuart, and Scott. today. Don't forget, you can hear the Rick Emerson Cavalcade of Whimsy every day following this program. Legion of News runs noon to 1. There's a brief musical interlude at rickemersonshow.com, followed by the Rick Emerson Show itself, so you can hear the glory of our interaction and our intertwined magics at rickemersonshow.com for the low, low cost of just 32 cents a day. Really, for which you can't even, I mean, you really just nothing. I mean, not even just a bag of gravel can be purchased for that. So,
are you sure?
I'm almost certain. I mean, really. I mean,
I don't know how much gravel costs.
Unless you understand, and I mean, unless your definition of bag is much different than mine. I would imagine your bag of gravel now is going to run you a good $18, $19. So,
well, that's true.
This, a mere 32 cent. Yeah. So, two different worlds altogether. That is at rickemersonshow.com. Don't forget, your first week is free. So confident are we that it will be the greatest single thing you have ever purchased or received, and that includes the polio vaccine. So, Cody, Stewart, and Scott, thank you for supporting the Rick Emerson Show. That's next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Here is Don Taylor.
Erskine Bowles, former White House Chief of Staff and co-chairman of the National Commission on Fiscal Responsibility and Reform, says the U.S. federal deficit and debt is like a cancer destroying the country from within.
Every time I hear Erskine Bowles referenced, I have to stop and I have to do that thing of sort of recalibrating my head, because I think that you're talking about the substance from which you bind notebooks, which is, in fact, moleskin, not Erskine.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Not Erskine. Moleskin. I always wondered if that was actually moleskin.
I wonder why it has an E on the end of it.
Why is it called? Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, here he is, and this is bound to be really exciting. This is Bowles testifying before the Senate Budget Committee on Tuesday.
Is this budget one?
Deficit.
Deficits. Let's see here. Let's see if I've got that handy.
For every
fiscal
path we are on today.
Oh, it's just as exciting as we imagined, more so.
That's good.
The fiscal path we are on today is simply not sustainable.
No.
This debt and these deficits that we are incurring on an annual basis are like a cancer, and they are truly going to destroy this country from within unless we have the common sense to do something about it.
I don't even really know what he's talking about, but now I'm depressed.
Well, he's a ball of fire, isn't he?
I understand almost nothing that he was just describing, but now I just feel the most sickly kind of ennui.
Apparently, he is saying that the whole deficit thing is really bad.
The whole deficit thing.
It's just bad. Like a cancer bad. Bad, bad, bad.
Okay.
So that's what he's saying.
Nobody ever just says, like, you know, that it's something is just sort of like scabies bad.
Yeah.
You know, this is worse than rickets.
This is like skinning your knee when you fall down, you know, on a warm sidewalk.
God damn, you know what I did this morning? I did the thing of hitting one of my shins on a coffee table that was just about yay high, right at shin height. Just walking around, bam!
Did your dog laugh at you?
No, it wasn't it wasn't actually my dog. It was actually several dogs and several runway models. And they all went,
But what did the models do? Let's do entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news. That wasn't even really a laugh. That was just sort of a Seinfeldian transition to this segment. Here's Don Taylor with your entertainment news, your Legion of News.
The producers of the $65 million Broadway musical Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark are negotiating to bring in new members of the creative team that may lead to the exit of the embattled show's acclaimed director, Julie Taymor.
Is she really acclaimed at this point? Can we actually say that?
She was. She was acclaimed for The Lion King. And so I think once you've been acclaimed for something, you're always acclaimed.
You can argue that, like, technically speaking, at one point in the past, there was a claim given to me. Okay.
Right.
All right.
The show's backers are reportedly discussing many aspects of the production, from how radically to overhaul the script and score,
to how much insurance money they could get if they were to set a fire.
What individuals should be hired to assist in that overhaul, and when to open the show. The musical's official premiere, already delayed 5 times, seems likely to be postponed once again from its current date of March 15th. Ken Sunshine, who has worked for several months as a consultant on the show, told Entertainment Weekly he's just not commenting on speculation.
Do you imagine him looking like Kenneth the Page on 30 Rock? And he doesn't really have a job. He's just there to cheer everybody up.
I imagine like kind of a blonde Tommy Toon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, you know, sort of there just to put a little spring in everybody's step.
Come on, everybody. We're doing a show.
Somebody should totally do... There should totally be like a little Rascals version of Turn on the Dark that somebody performs. Is this like... Well, I'm all over the place here, but my first question is, so it was going to open on March 15th. Now they've delayed it again.
That it's probably going to be postponed.
Aha,
yes.
See? So Rick Emerson was correct in not purchasing tickets. I have been vindicated. Because
you were going to be in New York.
When everybody was saying, like, you should see the Spider-Man thing. And I said, well, but it's going to be crap. And not even the same kind of crap, because they were overhauling it. They were rewriting it. So yeah. I wouldn't even be able to say...
And they still are.
...that I saw, you know, the version that was so universally panned. There's not going to be, like, a third or fifth or 12th version or something. And not even that week. So... Here's what the damnable misery would have been, that I would have purchased tickets for it, tickets that I either would then have not been able to use, so they would have just totally horked me out of the money. I would have had to try to resell them. And imagine trying to resell tickets to this goddamn Spider-Man musical at anything approaching like a break-even point. Or I would have had to have actually gone back for the sole purpose of watching that, at which point you just have to take your own life, so...
Harry Potter actress Emma Watson is taking a leave of absence from Brown University. I've decided to take a bit of time off to completely finish my work on Harry Potter. The last one comes out this summer. And to focus on my other professional acting projects, she wrote on her website. I will still be working towards my degree. It's just going to take me a semester or two longer than I thought. Smiley face.
Is she working on a degree and getting nude?
I don't think so.
She's 19 now. I can say that.
Well, okay. It's still a little creepy.
Look, I got to speak for the people, Dawn. If I don't speak for the great unwashed, who will?
The creepy people?
There's nothing creepy. Why do you hate women? Self-loather. Where's your sisterhood? You know, people like you are the problem, Don.
Jim Parsons of The Big Bang Theory will make his Broadway debut next month in The Normal Heart.
Retching noises.
The Golden Globe and Emmy Award-winning actor will play an HIV/AIDS activist in the play, which is set in the early 1980s. Pushing Daisies actor Lee Pace, Ellen Barkin, and Joe Mantello will star in the project, which opens April 27th through a 12-week engagement. Skeptics can dismiss their doubts. Jeremy London's kidnapper, Brandon Ray Adams, has pleaded guilty to felony false imprisonment and misdemeanor charges attached to taking the Party of Five actor's car. Last summer, Jeremy London claimed he was abducted at gunpoint and forced to take drugs by several men in Palm Springs, California.
I forgot all about that.
Apparently, it actually happened.
Who's his brother?
I don't know.
Jeremy London has a brother who acts.
Does he? I have no idea.
Because one is from Party of Five and one is from... Because the other one is the one in Mallrats, I think.
Oh, okay. I don't
know. All right. Well, in any event.
Anyway, after hearing the news, London's family, as well as many in the media, said they doubted the story was true. London is a recovering prescription drug addict who appeared on season 4 of Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew. Brandon Ray Adams was arrested in June and is now paroled due to a March 3rd plea deal. London told people, I feel vindicated, but I'm hardly jumping for joy. The damage that has been done to my career, reputation, and family is almost irreparable.
So what was there some motive? Was there any explanation given as to why? Did they feel like they needed to loosen up a little bit?
I have no
Come
idea.
Come on, live a little. Take some drugs. Like a gun at his pancreas.
I don't think that sort of thing really happens that often, though. Somebody takes you, kidnaps you at gunpoint, and then just makes you do drugs.
Yeah, I mean, typically that's it's not going to happen unless you're being sexually trafficked in an episode of The Shield.
Yeah. Oscar-winning musician Trent Reznor announced that he will.
Is that how he's going to refer to himself always from now on?
Isn't that fun to say?
What's like if I was Cuba Gooding Jr.? I would just refer to myself as that all the time. I would just say Oscar-winning actor Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yes, Trent Reznor announced he will once again record as Nine Inch Nails. On a blog post for forum.nin.com, Reznor wrote that Nine Inch Nails is not dead and I plan to focus on that next. Reznor also added that he will score the upcoming movie Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
I saw that. I saw an interview with him about that where he was just going on and on about how excited he was for that project. But I mean, that seems like a fundamentally pointless press release because there is, I mean, I know that he has, like, sidemen and other players and whatever, but I mean, it's like, there's no, like, not like I don't like the Social Network score and everything, because I do, but there's really no difference between that and some of your Nine Inch Nails recordings. I mean, in fact, now I may be wrong about this, but I am almost certain that several of the tracks on the Social Network first appeared on Nine Inch Nails releases, and like all those Ghost releases that he put out because a couple of years ago he went into he switched that whole Radiohead thing where he was just going to give it away because, you know, the record companies are evil and whatever. So I think a bunch of the stuff that's on the Social Network soundtrack actually is stuff that he has already put out on Nine Inch Nails releases. So it seems like a false distinction to me.
It may just be a matter of like art direction and costuming because he knows
fishnets or no.
Yeah, he no longer does the fishnets. He no longer looks like the gloomy, pouty, you know, goth emo guy. Now he looks kind of like a beefy ex-football player, middle-aged dad who would be inappropriate with the babysitter.
Yeah.
And it's a completely different look, and it's kind of hard to imagine him going back to Nine Inch Nails at this point.
He just looks... He looks like one of the later sort of bloaty, less interesting Ramones to me.
He looks like a guy you would go to like a family wedding, and he would be like a third cousin or something that would have too many cans of Pabst and hit on you even though you're related to him. He looks like that kind of a guy.
And just sort of go like, huh.
Yeah.
A lot while staring at you.
Yeah. Demi Lovato, who is 18 years old, posted a video message Monday to thank her fans for the support. Lovato, who left rehab in January, her spokeswoman claimed the celebrity struggled with eating disorders and cutting in the past, described her last several months as very, very difficult, although the Sunny with a Chance star said she was excited to get back to work. A Disney Channel spokeswoman told Reuters that Demi's management will inform us when she's ready to work.
Domo arigato, says Demi Lovato.
Oh, I like that.
But I do.
That's all the entertainment.
Right here.
Yeah.
That was spur them. That was an ad hoc bit of humor
right
there.
Right there, you came up with that. Just
came
right
out
then.
Of my brain. Zam.
That is why you are a highly paid professional broadcaster.
Am I?
I don't know.
I am. I am indeed. Speaking of which, don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program comes up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Hey, here's a little, it's like a little, little Dear Abby thing where, you know, this is a confidential to Kooky and Cucamonga. So this would be confidential to, I was trying to find a way to not do this, but confidential to Keelan. I couldn't come up with an alliteration that didn't, you know, I was trying to come up with, you know, where you do like crotchety, you know, I couldn't come up with anything else. Here's the thing, just now when you were talking about Oscar-winning film composer Trent Reznor, and I said, blah, 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 Oscar-winning, blah, 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 Cuba Gooding Jr. I just did that as a test just to see how long it was like. It's like when you go to the doctor's office and it's like they do the hearing thing where they make the beep sound and you hold up your arm, like I heard the beep, or they hit your knee with that hammer and you go, womp, and you kick. It was just like a reaction test to see how long it would take him to bang out a snarky response to my snarky comment about Cuba Gooding Jr., and the answer was like 7 seconds.
Yeah, if you ever say the words Cuba Gooding Jr. in the presence of Dave Walker, his eyes roll up into his head so fast that it's just an automatic response. He almost hurts himself.
He just goes into all caps here. It was like you could just... The great thing about Keelan, who, you know, is one of our favorite people, but you can sense, like, at some point, somebody's got to buy that guy a titanium keyboard, because you can just sense that as he is typing, it's like he's just picking up the keyboard and flexing it like the Hulk, and just sort of a Keelan smash! Says, I still fail... He says, with barely restrained hostility that you can hear just by reading the text, I still fail to realize how Cuba Gooding Jr. doesn't deserve his award because you don't like his other work, he says. And then later, in a separate response, it wasn't a Lifetime Achievement Award. It's awesome. It's like, if you listen really closely, you can hear the sound of the mouse snapping in his hand. I'm sorry. It's wrong to use others for sport.
Is it?
No, it's not. It's the Rick Emerson radio program coming up next at rickemersonshow.com. That is moments away following a brief musical interlude. This is Legion of News, which we bring an end to now. Don't forget, you can get it later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. That is here at legionofnews.com or here at cascadia.fm, the home of all good things. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the milkpacking district in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic prepared by Mr. Thomas Gill, who's respected by me, Rick Emerson, and whose input and knowledge, you know, is valuable, I mean, really beyond compare. And beyond my ability to explicate it.
His brain is enormous.
You actually held your hands apart right there, just there, like you were talking about a trout that you got at one point.
It's big.
It's, and by enormous, you apparently mean it's about a foot and 3 inches.
Yeah, it's like the size of one of the medicine balls that you see in old movies that they use in... never mind.
Thomas Gill, his brain is the size of a medicine ball you see in one of those old movies where they do the thing. From the mouths of babes and Don Taylor. Okay. Well, you know the rest. Do it in your head. We'll be back again tomorrow at noon for another exciting installment of Legion of News.
Woo!
See y'all tomorrow. Bye now.